Hello, hello, fearless listeners. Are you ready for another episode of Let Fear Bounce? It's the podcast that's all about conquering challenges and facing our fears. I'm your host, Kim Langling, and each week we'll dive into inspiring stories, expert insights, and practical tips to help you turn your fear into your greatest ally. So sit back, relax, grab that cup of coffee, and let's discover how to make fear our bouncing board towards a life filled with endless possibilities right here on Let Fear Bounce. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Let Fear Bounce. This is Kim Langling, your host, and I am so happy that you are spending just a small part of your day with myself and my guest today, Shannon Mondor. She is my guest today. Now, Shannon, she underwent a profound transformation in August of 2019 when she resolved to break free from the grip of alcoholism and confront the lifelong pain and fear that had haunted her. Raised in an environment where she was constantly belittled and subjected to physical and mental abuse by a family member, Shannon internalized the negative messages that she was stupid, she was good for nothing, and she would never amount to anything. That led to a lack of self-worth, depression, and a sense of loneliness. But today, folks, Shannon is a best-selling author of the book, How in the Hell Did I Get Here? Forever Changing the Genetic Blueprint. She's also a podcast host, a TEDx speaker, and a transformational mentor. And all I have to say, Shannon, is woohoo, go you, lady, go you, rock it. I'm telling you, welcome to Let Fear Bounce.
Thank you. I just love your energy.
I am so excited about this conversation today because you've got a heck of a background. You've got what sounds to me like an awesome book that I want to get myself a copy of, and just your journey. So my first question, I guess I want to toss at you is, you and I are both women of a certain age in a certain season of our life.
Yes.
And 2019 wasn't that long ago. And you said that was when you began a transformation, and I made some big decisions in my life a few years ago as well. What caused that shift in your mind in 2019 to just say, you know, this is it. I've got to change. My life needs to look different.
At that time, I was 50. I'm going to be 55 in just a couple of days. And I can remember waking up that day and I was going down a path again that was familiar to me, because 2 years prior to that was when I was on my first level of hitting rock bottom. I thought I had hit my level of rock bottom because that was when I was extremely suicidal. At that time, I was about 120 pounds. I was drinking 6 bottles of wine a day. I had 4 children and I literally could not even see an inch in front of me. All I could see was darkness because I grew up in a family of addiction and abuse, and it's generational. And my abuser was my brother. I had no one to protect me. I'm the youngest of 8 children, and I also have a half brother. So growing up in that environment, that was normalized. I didn't know anything different. I didn't realize that there was a contrast until later on in life. You know, when you're exposed to friends and all of that, right? Other families, other relationships besides what was actually happening in your home. But growing up as a child, all those beliefs are embedded in you by the time you are just, you know, 7, 8 years old. So what ends up happening is your personality ends up developing around all of these belief systems. And that happens in your adolescent years, your teenage years. So that was the beginning stages of me becoming a people pleaser, a chameleon, fitting in, right? By then I was already, the anxiety and fear, the lack of self-worth, how I devalued myself, how I felt ugly, all of that was totally, completely embedded in me. And I didn't even realize it because I was told that basically from birth, from my abuser, which was my brother. So when I woke up in August of 2019, that was when it was like, I had quit drinking. I'd been through treatment. I had done all of that, right? And so that was 2 years prior. And I quit drinking for about 1.5 years. But what had happened, because I didn't deal with all of these things that were happening with inside of me, mm-hmm. You know, treatment is only just the beginning stages. But what they don't treat you and teach you in treatment, which I really found, was they don't teach you about the self-development process within you. That everything that you go through and experience, it all starts with you. They deal about what's going on the outside, you know, and that's not how it works. If you want to grow as an individual, you have to work on what's going on inside of you. I didn't know about triggers. I talked about my anxiety and stuff like that. It was just the beginning stages of what was really going on within me. And when I woke up, it was like, oh, huge light bulb moment. Kim, I'm telling you, it was like, oh my God. It was like the good Lord above had just opened up everything for me, had literally just opened up my head and just like, okay, this is what you now need to become aware of. Because I was going down that same path of suicide.
Oh my.
Because I quit drinking for about a year and then I started drinking again about a year and a half because I didn't know what triggers were. I didn't know completely how to set my healthy boundaries, all of that stuff. And I was getting to the point where I was going back to my old ways again. And it was like, wow, like my suicidal thoughts were coming back, the resentment, the anger, all of these feelings, blaming others, this and that, right? And that was when it was like, oh my God, no. I turned into my abuser is what I did. I did. The person that you dislike the most and who my thoughts were all based on all the time of who I was not going to live like, I turned into. Because I was running so far trying to not be him. And every single day, no, I'm not going to be like him. I'm not going to be like him. I'm not going to be like him. Well, I'll tell you, I turned exactly like him. I turned into somebody that, I abused my family members, like my husband and my children, not physically, but it was to the point where it was mentally. You know, I institutionalized myself. I went into a treatment center where my abuser institutionalized himself through jail. You know, he was addicted to alcohol and drugs. I became addicted to alcohol. Everything I did not want to be, I became. And that was a real pivotal opening moment for me because I'm like, the only person that can change the way that I'm living my life is me. And I finally got it. I finally got it. Because I was looking at my whole dynamic of my upbringing, my life. And that's drugs, alcohol, that's gambling, that's food. And then I'm looking at my children and I'm like, no, I got to save them. And I got to save the generations coming. You know, I can't imagine my children having addictions or my grandchildren or my great grandchildren. And you know what blows me away as well is people think, oh, you know what? I'm not going to be like that individual, brother, sister, whatever it is. You know, they're an alcoholic, but yet they're sitting there and they are addicted to marijuana or drugs.
I was a smoker for years and literally just quit 6 months ago. That's an addiction, you know, cigarettes.
Absolutely.
That's an addiction. And I got to tell you, and a lot of people there are, you know, they'll be like, oh, I never knew you smoked. Well, I didn't smoke around people. I smoked at home at nighttime on my screen porch.
Yeah.
You know, but I did it for years and years. And that was when I would be edgy or feel anxious because I live with PTSD and you know what comes along with that type of stuff. And evenings were tough for me for a very, very long time. So I smoke. That changed some nights.
This is so funny. I used to be a smoker back in the day as well. I quit smoking October of 2011. And it is so funny because, and this is the clincher. Why I quit smoking is I used to go onto my back step and I used to smoke cigarettes. And I would be, that was when I would just think about my abuser, which was my brother, how much I disliked him. And I used to think about my mother. How much I disliked her because she never protected me. You know, I never was brought up in a safe environment, any of that. And then it was just like, oh my God, okay, I got to quit smoking.
Yeah.
Because every time I go out there, this is what's happening to me. And so this is before I got really bad with my drinking. And you're going to see the progression. So then I quit smoking. I was like, I figured it out. Oh, that's a smoke screen. Me going out there and smoking is a smokescreen to what my true feelings really are towards these individuals. Then that was when I slowly started to progress to the wine. Then I started drinking more and more wine, more and more wine. And we live in such a wine mom culture, it's pathetic, right? And then I did that for years. And then I even started to make my own wine. And oh, what a great thing for someone who's addicted to wine now. You know, I've got endless supply. And then I quit drinking the wine. Then what I did was I started to exercise. Next thing you know, Shannon's bodybuilding. You know, so I've gone through several layers of my addiction, just going from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And at least I recognized all of these things. But now I'm addicted to myself. I'm addicted to self-love and to helping others.
And that's awesome.
To grow in their best selves. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Right.
You know, and I have found that most people like yourself and myself as well. It's those who have went through pretty significant storms are the ones that are out there doing as much as they can to help others.
I discovered that where my true self-worth and what my true calling in as life was in my trauma. Because I've shifted my trauma, and I can see that that trauma is actually my gift. It was a gift that was given to me, and I can look at it that way, and it's like, wow. Because of all the things that I've experienced it throughout my whole entire life, you know, with the abuse, like all of it, like losing a baby, all of it, that all added to what my addiction was. But wow, what a journey it's been. And look at all of these things that I've experienced. And now I'm here to teach, because I've been through those experiences. I know exactly what you're going through. I can walk into a room, Kim, and I can see right away who is addicted to alcohol.
It's funny you say that, because I was just having a conversation the other day with someone. And I said, you know, I have no problem being able to recognize in someone, whether I've met them or not, if they have PTSD or they're carrying something with them and they've got their mask on.
Yeah.
Because I said, I'm ridiculously empathetic, and I feel others' stuff. It's like a physical thing at times.
Yeah.
And I might not even know the person, and I'll just be like, oh, that person's carrying something big. Something.
Yeah, exactly. Big. Like, oh, that's so true. And like, I can walk into a room just like you, and just the way someone is holding themselves or whatever, like, wow, you know, that person really devalues themselves. You know, I can see through all of this type of stuff. It's because we've been there.
I find that that can be a gift, and at times heavy. Very heavy. Depending upon the circumstance. But I want to talk about your book. So share a little bit about why you decided, I'm going to write this book, and this is what it's going to be called.
Okay, it was so funny, because I really didn't even plan on writing a book. I did it. And then it was just like one day, I had gone through the process, you know, through COVID, like just like everybody else. And I had seen how everybody was drinking and like how it was being so hurrahed on social media and all this other stuff. Right. And there was a big trigger for me. And I'm like, you people have no idea what you're doing. You're digging a hole that you will not be able to get out of. And so I just started to open up openly on social media about my life and just everything. And because a lot of people had no idea the journey that I had been on. Then I actually did a live on Facebook, and there was like over 700 people that showed up, and I spilled the beans of my journey about my abuse, my past, like literally everything. And then it was after that process that so many people are messaging me, and they're just like, wow, Shannon, like we had no idea that you had gone through all of this. And then I was posting every single day words of encouragement, and then people were really starting to come forward. Then it was like, okay, you know what? I'm changing people's lives here. And that was where the idea came about my book. And in my book, it's a two-part book. It's a very easy read. And the first part is all about my whole entire journey, like literally everything. And I don't leave anything out, because there's so many facets of my life, you know, growing up, you know, in a family of addiction and just the type of individuals that I had attracted into my life. Like, my relationships with men were all manipulated. They're narcissists. Even the individuals that I was friends with, the exact same thing, because you are who you attract. And you can see it throughout my whole journey, throughout my whole book. And a lot of people that read my book, they're like, man, was she ever stupid or whatever it was, right? And I see that now too. So I attracted those people in because, number one, I devalued myself. I didn't like myself. I thought I was ugly because I'd been told that my whole entire life, right? You know, so then after I figured out and I go through my addiction and all of it, right? Then the latter part of my book is how I healed myself. And it's not just about addiction, my book. It's about me losing my baby. It's about being taken for granted and me not sticking up for myself and how I allowed these things within my life. And it was, I didn't realize it at the time until after, right before it went to the publisher, I was reading my book and I'm like, went through a lot here. Is this normal? You know what I mean? And then I figured it out that no, my life was not normal.
It's amazing and sad to realize just how many people have gone through similar circumstances that will never bring it to light.
That's what's really sad. And that was why, like with my title, I had picked How in the Hell Did I Get Here? When I woke up in August of 2019, that was literally what I was thinking. How in the hell did I get here? And when I asked myself that question, which we all have,
mm-hmm.
we all have, and it's a relatable sentence, then I could see this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. I started to come in the awareness. And then, of course, forever changing the genetic blueprint is the addictions within my family. That was how I came up with the title of that.
I think it's a great title.
Thank you. Because it's so relatable.
It is.
It's like,
and like you said, every person, at least that I know, probably has, if not said it out loud, mentally thought it at some mm-hmm. point in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have.
But you know what? The things I used to resent and be so angry about, like, you know, these different tumultuous relationships or whatever, I can see now why they were brought forth to me. You know, I'll give you an example. So when I was just a young child, you know, growing up in a small town in, you know, a farming community, we were judged. And I was judged from so little because of my older siblings and because of my father and because everybody knew, right? And just the reputation that my family had made of our name. I was judged by these, you know, pillars of society, if you would call them. I don't, for me to look at them now as pillars of society, I'm like so far from it, right? And then, of course, I'm married into that. I'm married into a family which was the pillar of society. And I can see now why I was brought forth to do that. And that was for me to stick up for myself, you know, because I devalued myself. I let these individuals, these family members and all of that. And I was brought forth into a marriage, into a family like that for me to learn my lesson, for me to stand up for myself, for me to get to know who I am and for me to set healthy boundaries.
It's a good feeling to know, at least for myself, and I can only assume for you, tell me if I'm wrong, that taking what you've learned through your bumpy road and making sure that your children know that that's not normal, whatever normal may be, that that's just not the path, that's not the way life should look. That's not how people are treated. That's, you shouldn't teach people to be treated that way. I can see that positive that comes out of all that darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Those little sparks of light that now you're able to shine on things, which is a blessing.
Well, I just kind of look at, because my children, well, my older ones, not so much my younger ones, you know, they've seen the big shift that I've gone through, you know, from a mom that was addicted to alcohol that couldn't even get out of bed. You know what I mean? You know, they've been on this journey with me. And then for them to see where I am now, and now I'm on the world stage and I've, you know, I've got a book and, you know, I've got my podcast as well and all this other stuff. I'll be honest with you. I think at times it might be really hard for them to swallow. Because, you know, me just doing my, I just did a TED talk in Las Vegas there. And then of course, you know, after I went out in front and there's all these people coming up to me and I'm giving, you know, handing my books out and stuff like that. And for them, that was really the first time that they seen their mom as not their mom, you know, seeing the mom at home or the mom that taking them to their volleyball or whatever. They're seeing their mom in the public eye. And I'm going to cry because it was so profound, because my one daughter, you know, she was just bawling. Number one, that I actually got up on stage and I told my story. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And so they were so proud of me. But then, you know, there's a little bit of them that has seen me shift so much and change so much that they can see how I am helping so many other people out there by speaking my truth. And they've seen the battle that I went through to get there.
So what was your relationship with your kids prior to this change?
You know, I always felt like I was a good mom, and I was a good mom, you know, like I, you know, I was the dance mom. I was the soccer mom. I coached, I did all of it, but I had these hidden demons, you know? So I drank, I closet drank. Did.
Functioning, you know, alcoholic.
High functioning. And I was this, you know, wherever we would go, you know, I was the party mom. I was the in-style. I was the typical wine mom culture. If you want to see the epitome of that, that was me. I had all the brand name clothing. We had everything to go along with our lifestyle. You know what I mean? I hosted all the parties. You know, I was total people pleaser. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yes.
Behind closed doors, I would be in my closet. And I'm telling you right now, and I mean, I was literally in my closet and I was drinking wine. Yeah, to the point that I couldn't even function anymore. And the reason that I got so bad was because I started having triggers, visions of my childhood. And they just started happening. And I didn't know whether they were real or not. So, of course, I couldn't tell anybody. So then all I did was drink. And all throughout the day, yeah, I'd be like, are they real or are they not? Are they real or are they not? So what I did is I was going insane. And so what I did was I drank to numb those memories away.
Until which is so common, which is so, yeah, you know, so common. Yeah. You were having flashbacks.
Yeah, absolutely. I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're scary. They're frightening.
Very scary. Absolutely.
Because you do feel like you're losing your mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know what? The people that I've brought into my life, because I had to make room for all these amazing, wonderful people that truly love me and respect me for the person that I am now. My life has totally, completely changed, and I am the best version of myself possible to this day. And I can see where I'm going in the future. I know what I'm doing. I love myself. I'm an inspiration for my children. I'm a mentor. And that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here to do. And I couldn't do that in the past.
There are oftentimes people in your life for a season only.
Absolutely.
And that's okay, because that's all they were meant to be there for.
Yeah.
And if you're able and open enough to realize that and to see that, then it won't upset you so much if they take themselves out of your circle, or if you gently bless and release them out of your circle.
Yeah, absolutely. I am, because of where I am right now in my life, you know, it's quality, not quantity.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it was my whole people pleasing years where it was about all the friends and the brand name and all this. And it's just, but now, you know, I do look at life where, when I meet individuals, there's only two reasons why they're in my life. Number one, I'm learning something from them and I'm very in tune, and they could be in my life for an hour or they could be in my life for 2 months, whatever it is,
right,
or they've been brought to me to learn something from me.
Right.
So my life has value every single day. And what I'm most excited about is how I look at my children, how I'm raising them and how they see such a strong mom, you know, my thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and how it's being reflected onto them now, you know, so I'm creating little powerhouses.
What a fun thing that will be for you to watch as they grow.
Yes.
In themselves and in their lives and what they accomplish and what, you know, how they how they take on life. It's an amazing thing as a mom to watch that, to watch your child thrive.
And the one thing I say to them when they're fearful, I'm like, oh, this is where you really got to get through it, because it's in that fear. Once you get past that fear, that's your growth.
Oh, heck yeah.
It's that ego that is stopping you. So push forward, get through that fear.
I say to myself, and I said it to my daughter too, as she was growing, time to pull up our big girl panties.
Yeah.
Time to pull up our big girl panties. Is this going to suck? Yep. Yep. It's going to. Is it going to be hard? Yep. It's probably even going to hurt. But you know what? We're going to blast ourselves through this. Might take us a day or two, might take us a few months. Maybe it's going to take us a year, but we are going to come out the other end of it. That's been my mindset for decades, thank goodness. And my mind, in my brain, I've always got that little one that comes and sits on my shoulder and says, oh, yes, you can. Are you kidding me? You're not stopping now. No way. No way are you stopping now. And I thank God for that little whomever that comes and whispers in my ear that says, time to pull up your big girl pants, Kim. You're going to get through this. It might sucks right now. Really, truly sucks right now, but you're going to get through it. You are going to get through it, and you're going to come out stronger for it. And you're going to come out having learned something that will in turn help someone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Shannon, this has been a great conversation. Congratulations on your book that's still doing well, even though it's been out for a few years, and all of the exciting things that you've done, especially the TEDx talk. That's how exciting that is. Continue to be that light that's shining, and that little spark of light for those that might be sitting in darkness, those ones that need to look up instead of down, and you're that little light that's shining for them. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. And I can only imagine that you're just going to continue on, you know, and shine brighter and brighter. So go you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being my guest. This has been a true pleasure. I do truly appreciate you coming on.
This has been an honor.
Oh, I almost forgot. You've got to toss out a nugget of hope for my listeners today. So what would your nugget be that you can leave with the listeners?
Fulfillment in faith. And the reason I say that is I actually got it. I've always been against tattoos, always. And I actually got it tattooed on me, fulfillment in faith. And that is my business. Because once I found out that I truly needed to have faith within myself, there's fulfillment in absolutely every area of my life. And I live that on a daily basis. And like even my business, my program, you know, Fulfillment in Faith. My podcast is called Fulfillment in Faith. Like just have fulfillment in faith, and that faith is within yourself.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with
Thank
folks.
You. Thank
and
you.
And everybody out there, thanks so much for tuning in another week to another episode of Let Fear Bounce. I'm so glad that you spent just a small part of your day with myself and my special guest today, Shannon. So everybody out there, thanks again for tuning in. This is your host, Kim Langling of Let Fear Bounce. Everybody be well, stay well, and be blessed. Thanks so much for joining me on Let Fear Bounce this week. New episodes upload each Wednesday, folks, so be sure that you subscribe on one of your favorite platforms that you listen on. Also, we're on YouTube, so hop on over to YouTube, folks, and subscribe there. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you. You are amazing. Have a beautiful day. Everybody be well, stay well, and be blessed.